Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Swifttown.
It'd be a little weird. My microphone wasn't muted when I burped, was it?
I didn't hear it.
So. Okay.
So, but now,
I burped pretty good.
Now you've drawn attention to it. So,
well, I just want to make sure. But now that I've drawn attention to it, everybody just look into the camera here. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a flash.
And it's an audio medium. You realize that
you'll never remember this for the rest of your life.
There you go. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away. StrangeBrewCoffeeHouse.com. Whatever kind of coffee you like to drink from the restaurants, from the stores, you can get it right there online and brew it every morning right in your home. And don't forget, with every click, you support the Bulldog Initiative. The same way you do with our good friends over at Pip Printing and Signs. And yeah, what more can I say? Talking about supporting the Bulldog Initiative, here's a chance for you to not spend any extra money and support the Bulldog Initiative. If you're a business owner, you already spend money on printing. It's part of your monthly expenses. By switching over to Pip Printing and Signs, just calling them up today, calling Camden Baker at 601-499-5216 and saying, hey, heard about you guys on Thunder and Lightning. They will not only set you up with a great deal for printing, but they're going to donate 10% of whatever you spend right back to the Bulldog Initiative. Again, that is money you're already spending. So let's do that, and you can help out the Bulldog Initiative at the same time. Camden Baker's number again, 601-499-5216. That's actually his number. That's the amount of service you're getting here. You're talking directly to the owner of the company. They're not putting you through to a customer service representative. That's big time, in my opinion. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. And you're looking for maroon and white merchandise right now. You've got to change out two decades worth of polos right this second. I get it. You got them. Been sitting around. They've been with you this whole time. But much like other things in this life, they've got to go. So, head over to College Corner, two locations in the Jackson area. They're original by Fleet Feet, flow by the Half Shell. Or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com, and replace those all with State Script, Banner, I almost did it again, State Script, Interlocking MSU, M over S, a lot of great options. They're right there at College Corner. Restaurant Tyler, we're not going to do an ad read for Restaurant Tyler. I'm just going to ask you. We got Lebby later today as you're listening at 11:15. Are you going to be there?
I don't know. Might not.
Well, I was going to see if you wanted to go to Restaurant Tyler.
We'll figure it out. Maybe.
Okay. I think if I don't. Yeah.
That is a great excuse.
Yeah, the lunch offer is more enticing than talking to the head coach. I got to be honest, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's correct.
It is. So, well, I hope to see you there. Restaurant Tyler for a Blue Plate. It's the best in town. Great selection of meat and veggies, cornbread. And hey, if you're not a Blue Plate person, you just want to get a burger or chicken sandwich, man, they have great stuff on the menu for lunch beyond the Blue Plate. So check it out. Grab the best lunch in town. It's at Restaurant Tyler. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi. That means if you live in Central Mississippi, there's one near you, and you can start an account with a bank that gives you all of the financial flexibility that a large corporate bank does, but none of the runaround, none of the poor customer service that those kind of banks are famous for. It's almost like a meme when you're talking about a corporate bank and the way they treat their customers. It's much better at a bank like Priority One Bank that still retains that small-town feel. Again, there's 16 locations throughout Central Mississippi. That means there's one near you. Go to PriorityOneBank.com to find them and find out more information about the services offered at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. We got a lot to talk about on today's show. We've got to talk about baseball. I know you don't want to, Robbie, but we have to talk about it. We're going to talk some football. We've got a spring preview to talk about today. We're going to do the Ole Miss one, but I have a question about the Rebels as well as it pertains to Mississippi State because, as we all know, neither can live while the other survives. But we got to start with hoops and the big news that came out, I guess, late on or on Tuesday was that Josh Hubbard has made his decision, and that is to return to Mississippi State. I don't know that it was really a decision for him. It felt like with Hubbard, he kind of got that late, that pre-portal feel with him that it was just like, yeah, where else would I go kind of thing. I know a lot of people, a lot of Mississippi State fans were chicken littles on this one and were afraid that he was going to go elsewhere. A lot of fans of schools outside of Mississippi State were hopeful to the point where they lived in his Twitter mentions like a bunch of losers.
What?
I know, right? I know.
It doesn't sound like them.
Big bluesers up there. But at the end of the day, Josh Hubbard was always coming back to Mississippi State for another season. And now with him, with Cam Matthews, with Kanye Clancy, that is a great nucleus for Chris Jans to build around as he continues to work in the transfer portal.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that it was not a surprise by any means, but still welcome news because it's confirmed. It's 100%. You're looking at, the nucleus of your team starting to come together at this point. We saw it with Cam Matthews on the same day, Josh Hubbard. And I think that was Friday when that came out. I think that was right.
With Hubbard?
So didn't that stuff come out on Friday?
Well, the Clancy and the Matthews news came out on Friday.
Clary. Isn't it Clary?
Is it Clary or Clancy? Kanye Clancy, I thought. Is it not? You know what, though?
Clary. I'm correct.
Okay. Yep. So here's where I screwed up. It's Clary. And so I just had the CLA in my head, and I thought it was Clancy. Clary. Not Cleary. Clary.
Right. Now that we got that straight. You have three big pieces here.
Yeah.
Now that you can sell to potential transfer portal players, which I think Chris Jans and company are really hammering the transfer portal right now. There's a lot going on behind the scenes that fans don't know about that will come to light soon. Mm-hmm. But things are going well for Mississippi State right now. And I think that this is, shaping up to be a good haul for them if everything can fall correctly. So we'll cross our fingers on that. But having a guy like Josh Hubbard changes things for Mississippi State. And I know a lot of people, like you said, tried to play the chicken little thing. I don't think that those people were trolls. I think they were just waiting for the next bad thing to happen with Mississippi State sports. And look, I get it, but some people were actually happy to be here. Some people were actually enjoying themselves. Some people actually want to be at Mississippi State. Josh Hubbard's one of those guys. His family loves it here. He loves Chris Jans. He's excited to be here. He was never entertaining going anywhere else. So it was welcome. It was something that everybody was excited about, but it was always a formality. It was never a question for the people that know Josh Hubbard. And this is a really good piece for Mississippi State to keep and to build around because as much as people want to say, well, he's got to be looking elsewhere because he doesn't have any help. In Mississippi State's situation here, you're saying, look what we have. We have one of the most dynamic freshman scorers in the country, and definitely in Mississippi State history. Come play with this guy.
Yeah. I mean, Connect, gone. Dillingham and Shepherd will be gone from Kentucky. Meechie Johnson, gone from South Carolina. Mark Sears will be gone from Alabama. I'm trying to think my way around the conferences, some of the big-name players. Obviously, Tolu Smith gone from Mississippi State. I mean, Josh Hubbard could easily be your preseason SEC player of the year next year. He will obviously be a first-team All-SEC guy preseason, and he'll be one of the faces of college basketball, to be totally honest. People are going to know Josh Hubbard. He will be a national name for Mississippi State. One thing I find interesting about this is, and you can correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I think this is the first NIL situation states had where the athlete really had the leverage. You know, I think when you think about last year with football, right, if Bookie Watson and Jet Johnson had left, Crumity had left, it would have been a blow, but it wouldn't have been just crippling, right? It wouldn't have hurt. It wouldn't have hurt emotionally for those guys to go. If Hubbard leaves, it puts Charlie Winfield in a position where people are asking him, why am I donating? If we can't get people like Josh Hubbard on campus, why am I giving you money? I think it was crucial for him. Hubbard had to know that. So my guess is he's got a pretty good deal coming his way. But at the same time, it was evident that he wanted to be at Mississippi State.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And like I said, I mean, there was never any doubt in anybody's mind that knew Josh and knew his family that he wanted to be here. They're happy here. His family has really immersed themselves in Mississippi State, and they want to see Josh play. They live right down the road. They would like to, which I think they would go just about anywhere, but it's very easy for them to get to Mississippi State to see him play. And State did some good things for him this year. They got him the ball. They you know, did a lot of things for him offensively. You know, Chris Jans even, you know, had to fight the urge to sit him down because he's not, you know, the elite defender that he wants out there at the guard. But, you know, Jans knows that he's a dynamic playmaker. He's got to have that guy on the court. He's got to be able to score some points, and that's what he did this year. So Jans had to bend some of his, I don't know what to call it, but, you know, some of the things that he holds dear to his heart principles. As far as being a coach. He had to kind of bend that a little bit. But in turn, you know, Josh, I thought down the stretch, got better defensively. Absolutely. And things like that. So I think that it's a good relationship right now, and he's at a place where in the SEC, whether it be at Mississippi State or Kentucky, he's going to be able to get some of these national deals. I think he's already got a deal with Powerade or something. He's going to have some NIL opportunities beyond just the Bulldog Initiative,
mm-hmm, for sure.
So I think he's on a pretty big stage here at Mississippi State. He's playing for his home state. I think he's happy.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, the thing with Hubbard and defense, it's kind of like some of the things you with Caitlin Clark, and I'm not comparing them, but coaches tell them, you know, like, hey, we need you out there on the floor. So, you know, don't commit fouls. And the easiest way to not commit fouls is to be a little looser on the defensive end and not be in somebody's face the whole time. And especially with Hubbard in high school, I mean, you know full well when he was in high school, they were like, we have to keep you on the floor. Don't worry about, you know, just go down there and hit a three, and I don't care what happens on the defensive end. And sometimes you got to coach that out of guys. So I agree with you. Hubbard was a much better defender by season's end than he was at the beginning of the season. But he stayed so consistent throughout the year. I mean, he has a chance next year, like I said, to be the SEC Player of the Year, assuming Mississippi State has the team success that you'd like to think they're going to have under Jans with what he's bringing back and some of the targets they have in the transfer portal. So very interesting development for Mississippi State to keep Hubbard. I wasn't surprised by it in the slightest. I would love to know the details of his NIL deal. Maybe I can coax him out of Charlie Winfield one day. I'll buy him lunch. You think he'll tell me?
Yeah, I'm sure he will.
Oh, well, if it's just going to be that easy, I'll just make that happen for myself. Some other basketball news. Shaq Moore also entering the transfer portal, says he will leave open the option to return to Mississippi State. That seems like it's pretty cut and dry that if Chris Jans wants him to come back, they'll put together an NIL deal and he'll get that. He probably can't get a better deal from anybody else than Mississippi State. I think Shaq Moore could be a valuable role player for Mississippi State. At the same time, he's not. Yeah, he looks at that lineup and he's like, well, there's Clary and there's Hubbard, so I'm obviously coming off the bench. So it becomes, if he can find a spot where he's a starter, he might go that route. But what do you think? Do you think you expect Shaq Moore back in Starkville next season?
I think that, you know, he saw the commitment of Kanye Clary and saw kind of the writing on the wall that Mississippi State was looking to upgrade at that position. And it's going to be hard for him to come in there and be a starter next year. If he decides that he still wants to be part of this and he still, you know, he is going to have a role on this team next year, I'm pretty sure. But if he decides that he wants that, then I feel certain Chris Jans will say absolutely.
Yeah.
I think Chris Jans has a lot of respect for Shaq. He's been a great teammate. He's played hard for Mississippi State. and been productive in his 3 years. But you're at this point, you're trying to get to that next level as a program. And just simply running it back, I don't think, gets you there with what you have. I think Mississippi State has got to look to get better players. And I don't think Chris Jans ran him off or anything. I think this right. is definitely his decision. Mm-hmm. And he's being told by people, as he probably should. I mean, this is final year basketball, that he can find a place where he could start and be a more centerpiece of the offense and what they do there. So I don't really blame him at all. He's served Mississippi State well for the last 3 years. That's longer than a lot of players do these days. But it's evident that Mississippi State is trying to go out there and find players that are going to help them get beyond just the first round or the first four of the NCAA tournament. They want to compete for the SEC, compete for Sweet 16s and playing further in the tournament. So they've got to upgrade the roster, and that is – evident right now. What Chris Jans and James Miller and Philly Dave and those guys are doing is they're trying to go out there and get players that are going to be even better than the roster that they've put together the last 2 years.
And then the last piece of basketball news is actually football news, and that's that Jimmy Bell has made the trip from the hump over to the SEAL building. It's a short walk just across the parking lot there, and we'll be going out for football. It's interesting, you know. We talked a lot this a little bit this past season about a potential basketball to football switch. It was not Jimmy Bell who we were talking about. It was Cam Matthews. A 6'10" offensive tackle is a very interesting proposition. I know he's a great athlete. How much of a contribution do you really think he can make in 1 year?
It's going to be tough, man. Yeah, like it's tough to expect a guy to come in there that hasn't been playing football. He played, I think he went out in the spring or something at West Virginia. I don't know how much he actually played mm-hmm. at West Virginia, but it's very difficult when you haven't been preparing yourself mentally and physically to play a certain game on this level. But, you know, we'll see. He's a big, strong dude. You know, he's built to be an offensive lineman. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. It's one of those no lose situations for Mississippi State. If it works out and you get a great player, great. And if it doesn't, well, who cares? You know, you just move on. So, all right. Speaking of moving on, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, and you should be, the weather's going to be fantastic. Nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. So, some steaks, sure. Brisket. Absolutely. Burgers, keep it simple. Tri-tip, love it. Flanks, do I need to keep going? You know what I'm trying to say here. So, if you're going to be cooking out this weekend, it's time to put some beef on the grill. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. I told you recently they've upgraded their menu a little bit. They've put some cool new items on there, so I definitely want you to check those out. But all your old favorites are on there as well. You know, things like smoked wings and the prime rib sandwich and I don't know, like the pork rind nachos are on there as well. So if you want to have a great meal, if you want to have a great time, if you want to enjoy some of the best patio seating out in the Starkville area, it's right there for you. In the Cotton District at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems and have been doing it for 49 years. That's how you can trust them to deliver service after the sale. They've been doing it for a half century. So if you need a new copier, a new printer, computers, laptops, information, mailing systems, whatever it is, they've got you covered at Advantage Business Systems with great name brands and great prices. But then if something does go wrong, and hey, this is a machine we're talking about here. Something's going to go wrong eventually. You can know that you can call them back, talk to the same people who made you the sale, and they'll get you taken care of. A lot of times the same day because they're in Mississippi just like you. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. If you're going to be in Starkville this weekend, I cannot highlight enough that you need to make a trip to Maroon & Co., before you head to Duty Noble. If you're looking for new gear, and I know that you are, It's there at Maroon & Co. Stuff you can't find anywhere else, a unique selection. They've got the logos that you want. They've got the state script. They've got the interlocking. They've got the M over S. They have the Bulldog Initiative gear, including those new Wild Gear cups that everybody's talking about. So grab one of those, put that out there on your desk so everybody knows that you're a Bulldog Initiative supporter. And, of course, if you're looking for anything maroon and white, it's right there at Maroon & Co. Before you go to Diddy Noble this weekend, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. Speaking of Diddy Noble, Robbie and I were there on Tuesday, and that's all I have to say about that.
All right, we'll see y'all tomorrow.
No, no, we still got football to talk about, but still.
Oh, good.
Oh, God, Robbie, we just thought things were finally starting to go the right direction, and then this happens. How did that happen?
Because we can't have nice things, Brian. You and I cannot have anything nice.
Our families were okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess we can have that. Let me ask you this. When you look at State and what, you know that on the weekend, Steven is good. Gerangelo is good. Sierra is pretty good. When he gets back, Nate Dome is good, right? You get your weekend starters are covered. State's bullpen is not good enough to just have a bullpen game, in my opinion. They can't just go out there and say, well, we're going to piecemeal it together. They have to have a plan, be willing to give a guy 3, 4, 5 innings. It can't just be we're going to run through 7 or 8 pitchers because they don't have 7 or 8 midweek arms that they can feel confident in.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the thing. Like, if they had gotten up yesterday, if it was the roll in reverse and they were up 7-1 in that, then I could see that. I could see some of those guys coming in. And I think the thinking was that they're going to tee off on the guy they were going up against from Central Arkansas. They're going to score some runs. There's going to be offensive, and they could get those guys some work. But it just didn't work out that way. And it's been like that in a couple of games. They have been able to score some runs. We saw that against Memphis a couple weeks ago when they got down that game and came back and kept waiting for that to happen, for the offense to explode. It did in the last inning, but it was too late. And you had no room for error there in that final inning. So you just can't and the offense deserves blame right there. You get one hit and 2 runs in the first 8 innings. I mean, it's hard to really blame the pitching staff at that point because the offense was just as bad. But the pitching staff gave them nothing after Nolan Stevens until you got to the, 6th, 7th inning or whatever it was. You had 2 bad outings there from Forsythe and Holcomb. And – I mean, we said it before on Holcomb. I've been chastised by a couple of my friends out there who said we've been a little too hard on him. And I hate just going in on players or talking about players, but I just don't know if we're going to be able to see anything super productive from him on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
At this point, I mean, what else do we have to see? He did have a couple of good outings, I think. I thought he was good against New Orleans in the midweek, but this has been kind of repetitive. And, I mean, the confidence level can't be great at this point. But, hopefully he gets it together. I don't think for Mississippi State it makes a lot of sense to put him in the game when you just gave up 5 runs and you're already in a hole kind of early in the ball game. But that's what happened.
Just a really rough outing for Mississippi State. And, I talked about on Monday show that, this was the most important week for Chris Lemonis in his career. And he had to be 3-1 this week. So am I saying that they have to sweep now? Kind of am saying it, that they got to get some momentum going. And they've got to find a way to start winning games, to take care of. I mean, their RPI right now dropped 10 spots yesterday. They're down to 54. And I know we saw there was Baseball America did their regional projections. They had State as a number 2 seed in the Chapel Hill regional. We're going to have a discussion at the end of this season whether that's good enough. And I think you think that it is. I do not. And I'll use a football analogy, and I've talked about this before. I don't think Georgia would have given Kirby Smart 2 years of finishing last in the conference after winning a national title. And I certainly don't think that if for some reason they did give him year three, getting to the Music City Bowl would save his job. And that's kind of what that is. You know, you're not hosting, you're on the road. And I don't know. I don't know. They need to start finding wins. So I don't think they're going to sweep this weekend. I don't even know that they're going to win the series, but they need to.
I think that after the last two seasons, I totally get it. I totally understand the line of thinking. And, you know, that is not the standard at Mississippi State. It definitely isn't. But they dug themselves in such a hole. That's a pretty big jump to go from 9 wins in the SEC to a 2 seed. So, I mean, you're showing progress there. You're showing some major progress to get right back. And I get it. People aren't going to be happy with that. They're not going to be happy with 2 seed. But if you're showing progress, you got in the portal, you're getting players, then, and you're moving in the right direction, I just don't I think that he probably keeps his job there.
I'm going to save that argument for when we have to have. I'll put it that way.
I mean, I'm not saying they have to come out and sweep this weekend, but they definitely need to win the series. Sweep would be awesome. It's just it's hard to expect it against a good team. So, you know, it would be great, but I think they really need to win this series badly.
Agreed. All right, let's go to football. And today is our Ole Miss preview. There's two previews on the podcast feed today. This Ole Miss and LSU. I didn't include LSU as part of the show because I just wanted to talk about Ole Miss, because I know a lot of you out there are dreading this football season, not because you think State's going to be bad, but because you feel like Ole Miss is going to be very, very good. And I'm here to tell you that unless something really weird happens, they are. They're going to be a good team this year. They'll probably be in the playoff. That's just the fact of life. What I wanted to get from you, Robbie, and wanted to talk about was how far away is Mississippi State from Ole Miss as a program? And I would tell you that the answer is not as far as – it's certainly not as far as Ole Miss fans would want you to believe. And it's really not that far at all. Again, this was the best Ole Miss team maybe since the 60s this year, against the worst MSU team since Kroom left, for sure.
Was it the best team or the best season?
Maybe the best team for Ole Miss.
I can't get on board with that.
Why not?
Because I thought that they had a little more favorable schedule. I thought they took advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that this team was better than 2021.
Okay.
And I don't think that this team was better than maybe even 2015.
Okay.
I thought that they, like I said, I thought they took advantage of beating teams they were supposed to beat.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a good job going out there and making the team even better in the portal. This team might be their best team that they've had.
I think
since
it will
the 60s. Yeah,
I think when I look at you mentioned you beating the teams you're supposed to beat. They didn't do that in 15 and in 21. They lost to an Auburn team in 21 that finished 6-6. They lost to Memphis and Arkansas in 15, kept them from playing for an SEC championship. I thought that top to bottom, last year's Ole Miss team, I mean, they lost to Alabama, who was in the playoff, and Georgia, who was number one the entire year. That's the only two losses. They handled their business against everybody else. They were better offensively and defensively than they were the season before. I just thought that was a really good football team. And I know
was a really good football team. I don't think it was the best team they've had since the 60s.
Okay. Well, I mean, we can disagree on that. But what I would say is that even
they got beat 52-17 by Georgia.
Yeah. Well,
so I mean, Georgia beat the brakes off of them. The LSU game they won that game. They deserve credit for that.
Yeah.
LSU had them beat. LSU screwed around, didn't take advantage. That's on LSU. Ole Miss did what they had to do to win that. They barely beat Arkansas. They barely beat Auburn. Squeaked by Texas A&M. Could have lost that game. I give them credit for winning those games. I really do. I think there's been a couple of better teams. And you make a good point that those teams that I mentioned they didn't take care of business against some bad teams like this team did.
Right.
So they do deserve credit for that. I just think there was more talented, more well-rounded teams in the past. And I give credit to Lane Kiffin for that, because he can overcome some of the things that Hugh Freeze could not.
Agreed.
Hugh Freeze would coach himself out of ball games, things like
Absolutely
that.
Absolutely, he would. Absolutely.
Lane Kiffin beats these – he runs circles around those other teams, but, you know, he still has his issues against Nick Saban and Kirby Smart. Mm-hmm. So I give him the edge on that. That kind of puts them over the top when you have a coach like that.
To get to my point, which was good Ole Miss team, really good, however you want to frame it, really good Ole Miss football team, really bad Mississippi State football team. The worst since, like I said, since Dan Mullen arrived. Awful. Mm-hmm. Couldn't do anything. Playing with an interim coach. Quarterback who, I mean, had his bags packed, right? He announced for the portal the next day. He knew what was happening. And yet it was 10-7 going into the fourth quarter, and State had a chance to win that football game. So yep. It's just not as far apart. Now, am I telling you that with better coaching that State's going to go up to Oxford this year and get the win there? No, I'm not going to tell you that. Certainly not going to make that prediction today in April. But I still believe in the cyclical nature of these two schools, right? That they operate in cycles. They have 3 years where they're, you know, seven, eight wins. They have a year where they can jump up to 9 or 10, and they have a year where maybe they drop back to 7 or 6. Now, for Ole Miss, they've broken through that cycle a little bit, right? That this they've had 2 10-win seasons in the last 3 years, and they're on the verge of a third. I do think next year they take a step back because they lose Dart. They're going to lose a ton. All right. But they've also shown that they can go in the portal and do some things. But I just don't think the gap – now, you know, Ole Miss fans are going to be like, oh, we're about to pull away and it'll never be the same. Yeah, well, I heard that in 1990, and I heard it in 1997, and I heard it in 2003, and I heard it in 2008, and I heard it in 2015, and now I'm hearing it again.
In 2013.
2013. I keep hearing it.
And you know what?
It never changes.
Your dad heard it too.
Yeah. Well,
and my granddad heard it.
They were right. Ole Miss was miles better than State back when they were growing up. Now,
yeah, it just, there was a time, but that I don't think that time is possible anymore.
It's not. It's not.
Because the other program is always going to do whatever they can to mm-hmm. try to get right back in front. And it's going to just go back and forth like that.
Unless you're consistently recruiting top 5 classes, you are going to have years where you take a step back. That will be next year for Ole Miss. And look, a step back doesn't mean they're going 3-9. It just means that they'll go from, you know, they'll probably win 10 games this year, right? Next year they might win 7, especially if they keep that USC game on the schedule, which we're going to talk about in this interview in just a second. So this Ole Miss team is going to be very good. Do not let that detract your enjoyment of the college football season. All right, worry about Ole Miss, and we've had this discussion before. Worry about Ole Miss Thanksgiving week, because the rest of the time they're going to be good. If that takes away from your enjoyment of college football, well, then you're not going to enjoy college football this year, because they're going
to good luck getting people to actually buy into that.
That's not to say that you got to be one of these. It's just another game on the schedule, right? It's not. It's definitely not. It is the most important game on the schedule, whether Ole Miss fans want to admit it or not. State fans will admit that. Ole Miss fans try to do their mental gymnastics around that.
Keep buying hats after the win, and they keep talking about we run the SIP, and they have shirts.
I don't ever see an Ole Miss – the number of times I've seen an Ole Miss fan with like an anti-LSU thing in their Twitter handle is when I see one, it'll be the first. So – The seasons are just going to be different. State is about trying to get back. Ole Miss is trying to get there, if that makes sense. It's going to be a good team. If you're not a State fan and you just like college football, they're probably going to be a very fun team to watch with Kiffin. I think their defense is better than it was a season ago. They certainly have added a lot of talent to it. I think Golding last year, they weren't necessarily a dominant defense, but they made big plays. They forced turnovers. They got sacks. They were certainly a team that you could, you know, if you could just drive the football and run the ball on them, that was doable. But if you try, but if they would eventually get you, you know, they would force a turnover, they would get a big play, something like that. Let's get a little bit more preview from somebody who knows a little bit more about him. He's a notorious scalawag. He's also my friend. Richard Cross joins the show now to talk about the Ole Miss Rebels. This edition of our spring preview takes us to Oxford for the Ole Miss Rebels, a team that has a ton of preseason hype, and I think it's justly deserved. Richard Cross joins us. I got him to do extra work. Never mind taking a day off. He's doing more than his fair share. Thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Hello, Mr. Hey Dad.
How are you? It's good to see you.
You as well.
Is it weird to hear that if Ole Miss goes 9-3 and makes the Citrus Bowl this year, that's a disappointing season?
You know, it took me a long time to wrap my mind around that. And I actually asked Keith Carter about that in an interview that we did on the show. I was like, yeah, historically, a 9-win season is a great year, but with the expansion of the playoff and all of the excitement, the buildup, the hype, but more than that, the roster that they've got, that they've built through a combination of recruiting and the transfer portal and guys coming back, it's like, is it fair to say that anything short of the playoff is a disappointment? Because I feel like I've gotten to that point. And he agreed. He's like, yeah. He's like, the expectations are really high, but those are kind of the expectations that the head coach has put on it. And if you've listened to Lane Kiffin talk lately, it sounds like he really likes this team. I mean, it's rare for him to give anything that gives you a lot of insight, especially during the spring. But I feel like he believes this is a good team. It's a talented team. Obviously, you got a third-year starter at quarterback. It starts there. And so, yeah, and I think the schedule works to give them a chance to do that. You got to go out and do it, though.
You mentioned Dart, and you know the progression from year one to year two was that's kind of the natural progression you would expect from a four-star, five-star kind of player. You know, he got better. He was a better passer last year. He was more judicious with the ball. He was the key to a lot of Ole Miss wins last year. What's the step for him this year? Can he become an elite quarterback and a guy who at the end of the season will be looked at as a potential first-round draft choice?
You know, it's funny. I think if you go back to that very first year, because he had been at Southern Cal, because he had started at a program like that, the expectations were for kind of a polished veteran almost. And you forget the fact that, you know, 2 years prior he was in high school. And while, yes, he was highly thought of and highly recruited and all those things and had been at Southern Cal, he still had only played in like six games and had dealt with an injury. And he was in a new offense. And so I think all of those things kind of factored into that first year being good, but not great. It was a significant step forward a year ago. I mean, to me this year, it's about making good decisions. I don't think we're ever going to accuse Jackson Arm of having the strongest arm in college football. It's adequate, but it's not this, you know, huge. It's not a Matt Corral arm either, even from a couple of years ago. But he can make all the throws. And so it's decision-making. And hey, Dad, for me, it's as much decision-making on when to take a hit and when not to take a hit. Because this is a guy that over the last couple of years has taken some big shots. He always gets up from them. He stays in games. But each of the last couple of years, he's not finished the year healthy. I mean, he kind of gutted it out at the end of the season a year ago. So I think that's part of the maturity process, continuing to understand what they're trying to accomplish offensively, how they're trying to, you know, to get to an end game. It's not so much, hey, what we're doing on this play, but it's within the confines of the game plan and what the defense is giving you. You know, how do you best put your team in a position to win? When do you gamble? When do you take a smart play? What's a calculated risk? And I think all those things come easier with experience.
I listened to Cole Kublik's podcast on Sunday. He was doing a preview of Ole Miss. And he talked about the offensive line transfers that the Rebels brought in. And I feel like they got lost in the headlines, you know, with Juice Wells and Walter Nolan and those big names. Ole Miss really reshaped its offensive line this year. Is that going to be a strength for the Rebels this year?
Well, they certainly hope so. And probably need it to be because of a relative lack of experience at running back and from the standpoint that you would like to try and keep Jackson Dart healthy. Ole Miss ran the ball fine a year ago, but I really feel like for the last 2 years, they have run the ball well because of scheme, not because of talent on the offensive front. you know, scheme and a pretty special running back back there that didn't need much of a hole. And so an upgrade there, I think, is important. You remember after the Georgia game last year where Lane Kiffin now pretty famously talked about the fact that, you know, we don't look like Georgia up front. I think that changed the way they went through the recruiting process, whether it was high school or portal, obviously more portal than anything else. They were looking for bigger, more physical offensive linemen. Now, the hard part is that's what everybody wants, right? I mean, everybody wants their offensive linemen to look like Georgia's or Alabama's or LSU's. Getting that done is hard, but I do think they're better up front. This is very anecdotal, and you wouldn't expect a defensive player to speak ill of his teammates, especially in the spring. But you had a defensive lineman was talking with the media a couple of weeks ago, and he's like, man, this group's tough up front. And I don't know that you had those sound bites, whether they were true or not, a year ago. Certainly not in the spring, you know, when you're still several months away from the season. So certainly the coaching staff feels like and hopes that they have upgraded at the offensive line. And, you know, as you sit here, what we're in April, so you're still 5 months from the start of the season. It looks like that's going to be the case.
I thought last year Ole Miss was obviously a lot better defensively than they were in 2022, and I thought a big part of that was the big plays that they created. I think they led the SEC in turnover margin. They were top four in sacks, top four in tackles for losses. They weren't necessarily a defense that was just stifling. They made big plays. This year's defense, with some of the additions, I feel can be an elite defense if things go right for them. You know, how much better is this defense going to be with year two of Pete Golding?
Well, the fact that they're not having to learn the system from scratch, I think, is the starting point. Lane's talked about that some in the spring, that he really likes where they are, that they're farther along in terms of installation on both sides of the ball. You know, you're looking for playmakers, though, right? You're looking for difference makers on that side of the ball. And so if you kind of go three levels of the defense, okay, who is that up front on the defensive line? Well, you obviously talk about Walter Nolan, but you got a couple of pretty experienced guys coming back in J.J. Pegues and Xavion Harris, not to mention Jared Ivey at an end spot. So Nolan's kind of the headline grabber there, but then you've got other pieces. And then at linebacker, you know, Poupal, very much a proven linebacker in the SEC. It's still weird calling him that. I mean, his name is Chris. He prefers to go by Poupal Jr., so I guess we'll go with that. He's a tackling machine. He was at Arkansas in a bad defense.
Richard, have you call me that from now on. I'm just going to do that. So.
All right, Pooh, hey, Dad. We'll go with that.
My mom called me Boo Bear when I was a kid, if you want to go with that. So.
Boo Bear. I like that. And then the secondary, I think, is interesting. They've added some pieces there. Lane Kiffin has kind of raved about Trey Amos, the addition from Alabama. And, you know, his most recent press conference stood out to me. He mentioned Nick Saban like 17 times during that press conference. But it wasn't like the old way that he mentioned Nick Saban, where he was needling and jabbing. He was talking about both players and coaches being trained under Nick Saban. He's like, when you get a player that's played under Nick Saban, you know what you're getting because they have been taught to practice a certain way. And he said that's especially the case when you're talking about a defensive back, where Nick Saban was kind of hands-on in that. So can this defense take another step forward? Yeah, I think so, because they're better from a personnel standpoint and they're deeper. You know, will they lead the SEC in turnovers forced again? I don't know. I do think they're going to be able to put some pressure on the quarterback. And I think there's a little more depth there in the middle at linebacker. And that just, you know, for the last few years, that's been a position where they've had good players, but they haven't had much depth and haven't been able to really sustain injuries that come along the way. So a deeper defense that's more talented seems to point toward a better overall defense.
I've done a bunch of these previews so far, and I keep asking the same question about who's a new face from the portal that you expect to have a big impact. You can't do that question with Ole Miss because it's all roster. So I'm going to flip it around. Give me somebody who's been there for a few years. You think this could be a breakout season for them?
How about one? Breakout. I'm thinking about Micah Pettis on the offensive line. He's been good, but people have talked about holding penalties. He obviously was not healthy at the end of the year, and the frustration with the holding penalties was forgotten pretty quickly when Ole Miss went about three games without him in the lineup, and we're like, oh, wait, that guy was pretty good. He was pretty important to the success of this offensive line. I think a solid year from Micah Pettis could lead to him being a, you know, third, fourth round draft pick as an offensive lineman. Who knows, maybe higher than that when it's all said and done. But I also can't help but go to wide receiver. And Trey Harris would be the obvious answer, but he's kind of already broken out. I feel like Jordan Watkins continues to get just kind of lost in the shuffle. There were times where he was the most important wide receiver a year ago because he was able to stay healthy and he was on the field regularly. I think he's the guy that Jackson Dart trusts maybe more than anybody else. Clearly, Trey Harris is the most talented of the wide receiver group. But Jordan Watkins falls into that category for me. And then if you flip to the defensive side, I know you asked for one, and I'm giving you three. It's kind of a toss-up to me on that defensive line with Jared Ivey, who has just quietly put up really good numbers over the last couple of seasons, and J.J. Pegues, who's been talked about. I mean, it feels like he's been at Ole Miss forever, and it's like we forget that he started his career at Auburn. You know, an Oxford kid that decided to leave, goes to Auburn, comes back, has been a contributor. I feel like continuing to kind of grow into a really important piece on that defensive line and can be so disruptive. There's just so much athleticism there with him.
It's sort of weird to look a season ahead, but you know, when I talk about State and Ole Miss, I always talk about cycles. I say you have a couple of up years, you can have a couple of down years, and you'd be in the middle some. Ole Miss, on the other hand, you know, 10 wins in 2021. They felt like they were down in 2022 when they won eight. They won 11 last year, and now we're talking about a potential playoff team. Do you feel like Ole Miss is close to breaking the cycle and becoming a more consistent 9-10 win kind of team? Or do you look ahead to next year, okay, Dart leaves and they lose a lot of these guys, and next year could be a step back to 7-8 wins?
I don't know, because I don't know what the schedule is going to look like yet. I mean, I know we have the schedule for 2025, but it sounds like there's a chance that Southern Cal game is going to go away. And if they don't make the trip to Los Angeles in that season opener, my guess is that gets replaced with directional somebody. And so that probably makes a difference in terms of a win. Not to say that there's no way they could win that game, but there are a lot of unknowns, right? I mean, absolutely unknown at the quarterback position. You're going to be unknown at the running back position. You're going to lose some of those pieces we were talking about on the offense line. You're going to lose Walter Nolan on the defensive line. And we don't know what he's going to look like in an Ole Miss uniform yet anyway. So, I think it stands to reason that you would look at them and go, okay, there's not going to be the same level of hype around Ole Miss going into 2025 as there is going into 2024. And that is completely reasonable. But at the same time, we've also seen that in this era of college football, your ability to reshape your roster very, very quickly and maybe have those expectations not drop off year over year is something that's in place. And if Ole Miss is able to capitalize on the expectations this year, it's hard for me to believe that people won't be willing to do what they are asked to do in terms of donating money to the Grove Collective and having plenty of money there to try and go out and add pieces and sustain through the transfer portal. You know, I'm with you. 2-3 years ago, 4-5 years ago, certainly you would have said, yeah, 2025 is going to be a rebuilding year. And then hopefully, you know, 2026, and you're working toward like a 27 run. I just don't know that you can even accurately predict that right now. But I do think that given that you're losing a 3-year starting quarterback and a lot of other important pieces, and I don't know if this is answering your question, but the hype surrounding Ole Miss is likely to be less going into 25 than it is in 24.
Shall see. It's going to be I feel like it's going to be a long year for me on Sports Talk Mississippi. I wouldn't say I have high hopes, but I have high expectations for the Ole Miss Rebels this year. And I do believe they will be making a playoff run. So Richard will be happy. We'll see how I feel when we get into the season. Richard Cross, Sports Talk Mississippi, ESPN, Ole Miss Network. I mean, he does it all.
Not really Ole Miss Network stuff anymore. Not much of it anymore.
You're in the bullpen for them. Like, they know you're just a phone call away.
That's probably accurate.
Yeah, exactly. So David Kellum's got to retire at some point.
You know, David Kellum has earned the right to do that whenever the heck he wants to.
No, I'm not saying that we're pushing him out the door. I'm just saying I know who the first call is going to be. So,
yeah, we'll see. Always fun, buddy.
All right. All right. Thanks to Richard. I mean, you would put them in the playoff as we sit here today, wouldn't you?
Oh yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
because the schedule is manageable enough. If they have three wins, would kind of be push. I mean, three losses would kind of be pushing it, I think. But I think they're going to be in.
Yeah.
Now and for them, the good thing is, you know, they have Oklahoma at mm-hmm. home. Mm-hmm. I don't think they beat Georgia, but that's at home.
At home.
The road games are not daunting.
Road game.
Yeah, that's a tough one. South Carolina's a sneaky one, but I just don't think they're going to be talented enough.
I've been saying this for months, and you bringing up South Carolina is a good point here. That there's a lot. I feel the vibes of 2009, where Mullen's first year. Ole Miss, remember they were top 10 preseason. I think Sports Illustrated had them fourth. We all remember that Sports Illustrated with Jevon Snead on the cover, and they went to South Carolina and lost.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if the vibes are right, we'll see.
I'll just say,
go ahead.
I'll say this: how many times have we seen a Mississippi State or Ole Miss team hyped up in the preseason? And it's turned out to, you know, come out smelling like roses.
Yeah,
we've
talked about it. State and if you believe my cycle theory, State's missed its 2 years, 18 and this past season were supposed to be the up years in the cycle, and you have a coaching change, and there's too much change, and you end up not having the year that you're supposed to have. Ole Miss, on the other hand, they hit on their up year in 21, and then last year. I mean, I would say that they were probably not supposed to be as good as they were. They should have probably lost to LSU. I'm trying to think that through.
Could have lost to A&M.
They could have lost to A&M. They could have lost to who else did they play? Who am I thinking? The Arkansas game. Arkansas had a chance to win. Ole Miss won, not only won the games they were supposed to win a year ago, they won close games. Like
they won in the fourth quarter.
They won in the fourth quarter, which they did not do the year before. So
that's why I think they could kind of buck the trend of like Mississippi schools getting all this hype leading up to a season in some kind of sport and just kind of doing something to screw it up.
Let's hope not.
Yeah, they have a really good coach. They have a third year starting quarterback who yeah. I think has gotten better and better, and they got a lot of guys returning.
Yeah,
I keep waiting for at some point all the transfer portal to come back and bite them because they're making such a huge turnaround mm-hmm. on the roster, and a lot of guys are getting NIL on this roster. I just keep waiting for that locker room to blow up, and so far it hasn't.
Not gonna.
Lane Kiffin has found some kind of secret sauce in the Grove Initiative or whatever, Grove Collective, whatever it's called. They found some kind of happy medium to keep everybody happy and keep everybody on good terms, except for the dude that was going for a lawsuit. It's always like a dude that doesn't really play or whatever that's upset, seems like.
Yeah.
Well, you did have Quinjon Judkins transfer, but.
Yeah, but, I mean, then they went out and, I mean, they're going to be fine. They're going to go get Henry Parrish as soon as the spring portal.
Yeah, the running back situation is going to be. But that system, too, kind of lends itself to that.
And that's the system that's here now. So you hope that works here at Mississippi State as well. You know, we didn't really talk about the Lebby Kiffin thing, and I guess we have a lot more months to get there, but that's another interesting dynamic for these two schools in this season. I will say this, and this will be the last thing. If they don't make it, if they go 9-3 and go to the Citrus Bowl, which is still a great season by most standards, it's going to be funny. Because they have put themselves in this position where it's playoff or bust, and that's a dangerous position for a program like Ole Miss, like Mississippi State, like South Carolina to be in. You know, Alabama, it's playoff or bust, but you know they're going to make the playoff.
Yeah.
Auburn does that, and they don't make the playoff, and then you wonder why their fans are such psychopaths. So, something to watch. We'll see. All right, we'll do tomorrow should be exciting because we'll preview baseball. We're supposed to talk to Lebby tomorrow. And then we have our preview for Oklahoma. I'm excited to finally – we've never talked about the Sooners here on this show because Mississippi State obviously has never played them. But and I hope I'll get his name right when I talk to him. But Eddie Radosevich is going to join us. If you follow him on Twitter, he's a really funny guy, covers Oklahoma. Excited to talk to him and get a first look at the Sooners. Guys, have a great Thursday. Robbie, I'll be back with you on Friday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.